Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things podcast. A look back, a review, a celebration, really, of what we got done on our morning show, which you can hear at Planet 93.9 FM or Planet939.com or on your Alexa, your Amazon Echo, or your Echo Dot. Those are all ways you can listen to both the show and the station live. But right now, you're enjoying a podcast. My name is Dave. This is my partner, Darren.
And I'm not going to lie to you. This is a good one. Yeah. This one you're going to enjoy, friends. It's brought to you by Capriati Sandwich Shop on 53rd Street in Davenport and home of the Quad City's best cheesesteak and now the Impossible Cheesesteak. Don't forget to do this. A little precursor there.
That'll make sense later.
Turn your favorite Capriati sandwich into a combo with a chip and a medium drink, and be sure to download the Loyalty app and get free food again at Capriati's on 53rd Street in Davenport.
Let's get right into it. It's the top five things. Here's number one.
Number one.
Number one.
What do you think is the record holder for longest running live action comedy series?
Live action.
Tom, right? What's the longest running live action comedy series, the record? Because there's a new record holder. The record is just now going to be beat.
It's getting snapped.
Yeah, what comedy ran for the longest amount of time?
So you're not talking about the longest running one. This broke the all-time record?
Something has just now been renewed. A comedy has just been renewed, and that will be now the longest-running live-action comedy series in
ever.
The history of television.
History of television.
Right. Now, it's worth pointing out, the record for longest-running series comedy is The Simpsons, but that's an animated comedy, right?
And we're not talking Saturday Night Live.
No, because that's not a situation comedy, like
right.
A live action comedy.
Right, that
right,
is.
Right. We're talking your half hour,
yeah.
Your half hour scripted, you know, sitcom.
Boy, what's been on that long? Because Big Bang went off, and that wouldn't have set any record.
No, it didn't.
It's clearly got to be something that I don't watch.
Which is a shame because I know if you watched it, you would.
I would like
love it.
It.
Yeah. Yeah, I guarantee you've seen it and probably really enjoyed it. I can't believe it's not something that you watch.
Well,
it's probably on a channel that you just don't understand how to find.
All right, well, you tell me and I'll tell you if I...
It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia has
That's
now...
That's still on?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I had no idea that was still on.
It just got renewed for season 15. The first episode of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia aired on August 4th. 2005.
They haven't taken any seasons off? That was on FX, right?
Yeah, still is. Well, it was on FX. Now it's on FXX, which I...
Isn't that the Simpsons channel?
Yeah, that's it.
But isn't? I thought that was just Simpsons.
No, sometimes it is. Sometimes they'll do marathons where it's every Simpsons ever. But no, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia
no.
is now on FXX.
Yes, no, I like that. I haven't seen a ton of it. I like it.
With 14 seasons so far, they had tied The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet as the longest-running live-action comedy.
Two different shows.
Very different shows. But now, this will be the new record holder. Ozzie and Harriet, 14 seasons. They did 435 episodes of Ozzie and Harriet.
Mm.
Can I share this with you? I haven't seen 2 seconds of it.
Same storyline for all of them.
What was the point of...
Bud's in trouble.
Was Bud Ricky Nelson or the other one? Were there two boys in the show or
well,
just
Ricky? Ricky was Ricky. Ricky Nelson
Ricky
was
Nelson Rick. Played Ricky.
Uh-huh.
Was the other...
I think that's right. Wasn't his brother Bud?
Was Bud his actual brother or was that an actor playing... Ozzie and Harriet were a couple in real life. And their actual son was Ricky Nelson. And then they had another kid on the show... That was an actor playing a brother? That seems odd.
I don't know if any of that.
You haven't
true.
Watched any of Ozzie and Harriet either, then?
I didn't spend a ton of time with that show.
Well, I don't even understand what the premise of that show was. Ozzie and Harriet. Were right. they coal miners?
Yes.
What the hell was the point of that show?
Yes.
435 episodes of Ozzie and Harriet.
They were always being trapped in a coal mine.
Great. Ricky, the canary just died. We don't have long. It was on the air on ABC from October of 52 to April of 66 and starred the real-life Nelson family.
Does that include Bud?
So Bud is their actual kid?
Bud Nelson?
Hello, I'm Bud Nelson. David Nelson was the kid's name.
David.
There's no Bud.
What was Bud on? Father Knows Best?
I think that's a different show.
It probably was a different
There's
show.
There's nobody named Bud on this show. So David Nelson and Ricky Nelson.
Who had Bud?
You're thinking of Father Knows
Is
Best.
Is that Father Knows Best?
With what's his name? Robert Young, right?
Robert Young.
Yeah.
Bobby Young.
Right. Robert Young, who is the founder of the Robert Young Center for Mental Health here in the Quad Cities, right? That's his Quad City connection. Why is the Robert Young Center, the Father Knows Best guy, open that up here, right?
Yeah.
That's not a franchise. It's like the only place. But he's not from here, right? Eddie Albert is from here. That would make sense for Eddie Albert to open up a thing here. So the point of the show, the Ozzie and Harriet show, was that they just, did they have adventures or were they just a family? How do you do 400 plus episodes of Ozzie and Harriet?
It's Ozzie coming home from work every day.
The series strove for realism and featured exterior shots of their actual house in Los Angeles.
Well, that's not safe.
That's a dumb idea. What are you doing?
You don't want to let...
This is where we live, everybody.
This is where we live, and this is how you can gain access to the house.
Ran for a total of 14 seasons. The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet. See, to me, when you put adventures in the title...
Yeah, you need to have some adventures.
There needs to be a plane crash at some point.
And well, I don't know about a plane crash.
Well,
but
spoiler alert, there would be a plane crash.
Well, but the idea that
you're
showing...
Happy New Year!
The fact that you're showing the home and that back door that's never locked...
Here's the episode where Ozzie leaves the key under the mat for everyone to see.
Right.
And on the calendar, it says, we'll be out of town this week. That doesn't seem like a good idea. They strive for realism. So they did the exterior shots of their actual house. So you could, like, read the numbers and go to their house?
Case the joint.
That seems like a terrible idea. The house was at...
They never got any mail.
1822 Camino Palermo Street in Los Angeles. That was their actual house where they lived. But then the interior shots were filmed on a stage, which makes sense.
Yeah, but they were still always late on their... Mm-hmm. How many times they shut off the lights in that place, the power, because they never got their bills.
In an episode entitled Ozzie Changes History, 1959... It's entirely devoted, the entire episode devoted to the history of Warfield, the fictional town where they live. This finally accounted for the small town atmosphere of the series.
Warfield?
Warfield is where they live?
Warfield? Ozzie worked at a landmine factory.
That's worth watching.
They're just sitting at sitting at the kitchen table,
mm-hmm.
And every so often, almost every episode, you'll hear an explosion. There goes another neighbor.
Yeah, you know, dad's
just like, well, that's how we live here in Warfield.
Dad's at it again.
Dad just blew up another neighbor. Well, he's good at his job.
Dad.
Ricky's trying to sing a song. There goes an explosion.
Hello, Mary Lou.
Oh, Jesus, yes. Dad!
Yeah, someone just tripped another wire.
Nelson's... as he starts every show, looking into the camera, this is our actual house, but I feel safe. You know why? You know what I do for a living? Landmines.
Uh-huh.
Just try and step on my front yard, you savages. Oh, big fan of the show, were you?
Ozzie's getting ready for work. He's putting on a suicide vest.
All right, dear. Here you go. I made you a lunch. Here's your sandwich. All right.
Enjoy it.
Off to the Hurt Locker, dear. Yamanahamana. Well, okay, so neither one of us have ever watched The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet. We don't know what the show is about.
Not much. We don't know what we're talking about.
I think the show that we're describing would be a better show.
Well, clearly.
It's set in fictional 1950s America and dance making landmines in the backyard. I'd watch that the heck out of that show.
Yeah, don't ever ring the front doorbell.
Mm-hmm.
It goes off in your face.
The front doorbell. It's triggered to explosives.
It blows up right in.
Oh, Nelson's. That would be a better show.
Now, those are adventures. The adventures of Ozzie and Harriet are trying to make your way across their front lawn.
The adventures of the paper boy.
Uh-huh. The paper boy. You know how many paper boys we go through?
It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia will now break that record as the longest-running live-action comedy series, solidifying its place in TV history as the sole holder of this record.
Paperboy spits out the paper because he's got no arms.
They say the people behind It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, a co-creator Rob McElhenney, says that they're going to keep doing it forever if people keep watching. Mm. So they're not... I think that
as long as you continue to pay us, we'll do this.
It's still funny, right?
Yeah.
Although I have to admit, I haven't watched the last couple of seasons.
I didn't know that it was still going on.
How many seasons do you think Coach ran for? Remember Coach?
Mm-hmm.
Craig T. Nelson running a Minnesota State Screaming Eagles football team?
Yeah, that was rough stuff.
Yeah, how many years was that on the air?
10?
9 seasons of that. There was also 9 seasons of The Office, the American Office.
Yeah.
All in the Family was only 9 seasons.
Yeah. Does that include Archie's Place?
I think it must, right? Murphy Brown was renewed for a new season before it was canceled, but that brings it to a total of 10 seasons.
The thing is now, I know it's not a sitcom, but they will lead you to believe that Dancing with the Stars has done like 30 seasons.
Well, yeah, their definition of a season's a little different.
It sure, is.
3 seasons a year, right?
Well, I guess you can get 4 in if it's a season.
Family Matters. Remember the Urkel show, Family Matters?
Yes.
That ran for 9 seasons.
Hmm.
Do you know what that's a spinoff show?
From?
That was a spinoff to Perfect Strangers.
Oh.
Yeah. 9 seasons that show was on. Family Matters. Happy Days was on for 10 years, or 11 seasons, I guess. 74 to 84 ran for 11 seasons. The last couple seasons of Happy Days are hard to watch because they just quit pretending it's the 50s.
No. Well, there's no way it could be.
Right?
It's like, it's the 80s and let's...
How I Met Your Mother was on for 9 seasons. That's the one that you had mentioned. Everybody Loved Raymond was 9 seasons. Jeffersons was on. That was the longest running sitcom that featured a black cast, but that was on from 75 to 85. That too was a spinoff, right? Cheers was on for 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
So Ozzie and Harriet and Frasier was on for 11 years. You could make an argument that Frasier was on both of those shows. So that's like a 22-year arc, right? That character was on, although Frasier's not on the first couple seasons of Cheers, right? He shows up eventually. Modern Family just wrapped up their 11th and final season. So to be on that many years, MASH was on for 11 seasons.
Yeah.
To be on that many seasons is an accomplishment.
Whole Town was dead.
Warfield. We call it... Every episode begins with...
It's like a war zone.
Ozzie making a frantic call to the mayor. I woke up and my clothes are dirty. I think I did it again last night.
We received another bomb threat. It's no threat.
It's a promise. And these are our adventures.
And our demands. Just holds the whole town hostage.
Wait a minute. This isn't...
You will listen to my son sing.
Two. Pollution actually doing something good for us. Well, I mean, that's debatable, but...
In what way?
Well, you're not going to be dealing with as many mayflies on the river this year.
Okay.
They've done a big study, And they're saying because of pollution and because of other things that are going on with the environment, the mayflies are going to be quite diminished this year. In fact, they've done the data, they've done the number crunching, and there's been, they say, in the last 7 years, a 50% drop in mayflies on the river.
Now, it seems to me, because I spend some time on the river.
You have.
That we only get like a couple days of it, but when we get it, boy, you get it.
When I lived in Dubuque in the 90s, they were so bad. The shad flies, mayflies, Canadian soldiers, whatever you want to call them, they would be so bad in 1 week in the summer that the bridge between Dubuque and East Dubuque on the Mississippi River, they would have to take a snowplow.
Yeah.
And plow all of the
carcasses.
But
they really get it on.
Yeah, well, I mean, you watch them.
You watch them. It's like this. This is like a pool party in the Ozarks.
You spend most of your time in the water eating algae, and then you hatch and you come out.
And
you've got like you've got a day to make it all happen, right? So right. Yeah. There's not a lot of mayflies.
Next thing you know, you're in blue velvet.
Yeah. These mayflies don't spend a lot of time trying to figure out what they want to do with the rest of
their lives.
No, I know
what I want to do.
Mayflies, by the way, don't hatch in May.
No.
Most appear in June and July. But when they come out in droves.
Well, when does Oktoberfest take place?
That's a good call. September. Late September. A little bit of October. But mostly it's late September, yes. A lot of misnomers there.
Yeah, you kind of feel bad for the shad fly that's over in the corner by the punch bowl. It's like, you really, son.
Wallflower mayflies.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Son, go get some.
I identify with that mayfly, though. I'm like, I get it, buddy. It's scary stuff.
I understand.
Interacting with others. That's tough to do.
Time is not on your side. I don't care what Rolling Stone record you're listening to.
Researchers from the University of Notre Dame, University of Oklahoma, and Virginia Tech are saying that there are 88 billion of them when they hatch. And it's gotten to the point, Eric Sorensen at Channel 8's got an interesting piece on this on the WQAD website. They're saying that the mayfly may be the canary in the coal mine when it comes to pollution levels in the upper Mississippi River. That we might be dealing with half as many mayflies as we used to,
but
because all of the pollution is killing them off. So that might not be good.
No.
Hatchlings, when it happens, when they all kind of emerge, they'll show up on radar. And then they go 2,000 feet off the ground, and then you're dealing with what looks like storms are happening, but it's just these bugs.
Yeah.
A 50% drop in the population of mayflies in the last 7 years. This research includes the Upper Mississippi River Basin and Western Lake Erie region. Researchers began the study with a goal to find out how many mayflies take flight each year. What they didn't realize is that the numbers are fewer and fewer. These 88 billion mayflies that happen every time there's a hatching make up 12 trillion calories for birds to eat. The birds are big fans.
Sure they are.
So then you got that going on where there aren't as many mayflies.
Bird snacks.
Now birds don't have as much to eat.
Birds eat it.
Right. Results published in the journal Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. And yes, we do subscribe. 12 trillion calories will now be missing from the diets of all the birds that eat all the mayflies.
We did, this would have been in the 90s, early 90s,
yeah,
when I was doing some PA announcing, or I guess just PA-ing.
Yeah. PA-ing.
PA-ing.
Public A-ing.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so this is down at the ballpark.
This is down at the ballpark. This is probably like 93 or something like that. And they had, They were doing what like an old timers baseball game.
Yeah, sure.
Where I was like down on the field, you know, kind of dressed up in the 1920s garb or whatever it was. And, you know, doing the announcing from a megaphone.
Oh no.
Or whatever.
Were you doing that voice too?
Champ.
Welcome everybody to John O'Donnell Stadium.
Welcome to
it's the last thing I've ever seen in the history of the world. What? Oh, the humanity!
Everybody, welcome the boys home. and that's when
it wouldn't kill you people to buy some war bonds.
Yeah.
Just screaming at the crowd.
And we're down there, and that's when one of those swarms hit.
Yeah.
And it just choked us.
Yeah.
It just strangled you.
Now, wasn't one of the stated purposes for the ballpark getting the LED lighting was that was supposed to be less of an attractant to the mayflies?
That I hadn't heard.
I thought I had heard that that was one of the things they were hoping when they replaced all the lighting at great expense. Yeah, that was going to mean
that could be,
less of those things.
That could be true.
Yeah. Because you'd look up at the lights in the 90s and it was just like you couldn't. Yeah. It was blotting out the lights.
Yeah.
There's so damn many of them. So I feel bad for these birds that are going to miss out on all the mayflies that they could eat. But also, you could have done a better job eating. Like...
Well,
if I'm being honest, birds and the young a lot of these and the bugs you weren't eating.
The young birds, they don't know what they're missing out on.
That's right. I mean, this is just in the last 7 years that there's been this decline.
They don't know.
Right. So there's some old bird right now on a branch.
That was a golden period.
2013, we had twice as many of these bugs to eat. You don't understand. They're saying that this study will give new ways to understand population trends of insects, which form the base of food. They call it the food web that we all depend on. I mean, think about it. If there aren't as many birds because there aren't as many bugs, then there's not as many. Well, I mean, I guess we don't.
Well, I mean, I don't know how many robins I eat.
Well, don't knock until you've tried it. Are these mayflies, is it the canary in the coal mine? Honestly, if pollution in the river means less of these bugs, I don't know that I hate that. Because I'm not a fan of them. When they get right in your face,
yeah,
ugh, you're having a conversation and you just feel something on your neck.
Yeah, but it seems like, it seems anymore, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I kept to myself more than I thought.
Yeah.
It seemed like it was only just a couple occasions.
Yeah.
Anymore.
But when it's one of those occasions.
But when it's one of those occasions.
Right. No, you go to a ball game in August, you're not dealing with
it. It's a dance party.
Yeah, exactly. Meanwhile, there's this story from Florida.
Florida.
So, they stay indoors, this family in Fort Myers. They stay indoors for the entire pandemic. And they've had enough of staying indoors.
They didn't even step outside?
No. They stayed indoors the entire time everything was going on down there in Fort Myers, doing the right thing. And finally, this dad has decided, okay, enough time has passed. It would be safe for me to take my kids to a local park.
Mm-hmm.
Right? This is on Saturday. They had stayed indoors since March when all of this unpleasantness started. They'd stayed indoors since March. They go out. Oh, it feels so good to be outside.
Sure.
They go to the park. They weren't there 10 minutes and they had to leave because the 4-year-old was attacked by wasps.
You can't win.
Yeah, what are you
the
doing?
The band?
Not the band. Blackie Lawless was not hiding in the seesaw.
Blind in Texas!
No, that wasn't.
Wait a minute. What does that kid think he's doing with my swing?
Here's the problem. The parks departments haven't done really any eradicating of any pests because there's been no need because you haven't been going to the parks.
Haven't been spraying.
The dad tells the NBC station down there in Fort Myers, wasps have been living there for months uninterrupted. We've got to let people know they've got to spray these parks down before they just let a bunch of kids play.
Yeah.
He called the county commissioner and city council members and said, could somebody, take care of these wasps? His little boy was stung 3 times on his left hand.
That's no good.
No, when you're 4 years old, four stings from a wasp? No thanks. He took his kids back to the park the following day, and they said they didn't see any wasps.
They had a pleasant time.
How would you take your kid back to the park after he's gotten stung 3 times?
You wouldn't think you'd want to go.
No.
When's the last time you've been stung?
I got stung playing golf two or three years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Got stung right in my hand. And the thing is...
How do you do with the stings?
That one was weird because it was right on my hand. And by the way, I was having the round of my life.
Meaning you were going to break 200.
Listen. This thing stung my hand. And
oh, the good Lord wouldn't.
The good Lord would never disrupt the round I'm having.
He knows I'm about ready to shoot 170.
I got stung in the hand, and my hand, like, blew up.
Hmm.
For a week, it was giant.
Wow.
And I've never had...
Talk about the stranger.
It was weird. Yeah. And it got all in there. And the thing was, like, after it had left, the thing flew off and died. It was strange because you could see where the stinger was. And then there was like a sack.
Yeah.
And the sack was vibrating.
Pulsating?
Just pulsating on its own.
Getting.
And I couldn't get it out because of where it was on my hand. Like,
did
I
you have somebody else pull it out?
Yeah. Yeah. I put some ice on it and it was a situation. Uh-huh. But by then, the darn thing, it just inflated my hand.
I haven't been stung in forever. Now, having said that.
Knock on wood.
Having said that. Now, what do you think the odds are that I get stung today? Probably pretty high.
Well, we do very well with wasps and hornets and bees. It's a big demo for us. So if they're listening, I would say give Darren a couple of days and then get him. What are the chances that you get stung between now and like Monday morning show? I'd say better than 80%.
More than 100%.
Yeah, you're completely asking for it.
Number three.
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 Tyson is back in the news. Mike Tyson?
Mm-hmm.
He has not been in the ring in 15 years. He's now being offered more than $1 million for each year he's been away to fight one more time.
How many years have you been away?
15 years.
15 years.
They want to give him $20 million for a single fight.
Uh-huh. Against who?
Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship is making an offer to Mike Tyson. $20 million for a single fight.
Sounds brutal.
Bare Knuckle Fighting Bare Mike knuckle. Tyson? He's not going for it, by the way. And now they're saying, well, we'll sweeten the pot. We'll give away money for charity. And you get the $20 million. They say... He didn't say no. He said no immediately, but we think there's room there.
Now, I saw where the heavyweight champion of the world is this Tyson Fury.
Yeah.
The big, what is he, 6'9"?
Yeah. That's, yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
That they had put some sort of offer and they couldn't make it happen.
The bare knuckle people or?
No, the Tyson Fury people.
Hmm.
I don't know. I mean, Mike Tyson, you get to... You haven't fought for 15 years and you get to fight for the title right out of the bat?
Well, you're Mike Tyson.
Well, I know.
He did post that Instagram video where he is doing all that training and he's talking about the workouts.
Shadow boxing.
He says, I've been trying to get in the ring. I want to go to the gym and get in shape to be able to box 3 or 4 round exhibitions for some charities and stuff.
All right.
3-4 round exhibitions. So is he pulling his punches then or how does that work out?
Yeah, because you wouldn't think... Depending on who you fight, it should take 3 rounds.
No. I mean, when he was in his prime, he rarely got to the 3rd round. Now he's 53 and he hasn't been in a ring in 15 years.
Would people be interested in watching him fight people that he shouldn't fight?
Kind of.
I mean,
I'm not going to say no to it. Like
some loudmouth.
That I would like very much.
It's like someone you know he's going to cream in, you know.
Yeah, no, I could come up
seconds.
With a, I could come up with a long list right now. I would like to see that.
Yeah. I mean, you could fight how many people?
Keep them coming?
Yeah, just keep
until
them.
Until he gets tired?
Just keep them coming. Here's another loudmouth.
That's not bad.
That people are basically, I mean, all the money goes to charity.
Mm-hmm.
And you basically, I mean, because I would think that a lot of loudmouths could get sponsored.
Yeah, and loudmouths would have the mentality where they think.
I'm gonna get. I'm gonna. That's fine, but I'm gonna get my punch in.
Right.
Don't worry about it.
I'm the one who can beat Mike.
No,
Tyson.
I'm the one that's gonna. You know.
Yeah.
And so you just basically line them up, and then bring them in, and. You know, he dispatches of them in 15 seconds, and then they bring out the little meat wagon, and they take him.
I like the idea
of
a loudmouth conveyor belt that just keeps bringing
just
him
brings
into the
him
ring.
Back, just keeps bringing him into the ring. And it's like, all right, how much did you raise? Oh, I've got
You know, I got $100,000 of people that wanted to watch me get beat up. I mean, you could make a ton of money that way.
You could do a lot of good.
You really could. I mean, now you've got entertainment.
I think that's a sporting event.
Uh-huh. As opposed, put him up against somebody who's a professional fighter.
No.
I don't know.
We've seen that.
I don't know about.
We've seen the best he can do there.
I don't know about that.
Yeah,
Let's bring in people who I think I can knock him out.
Loudmouths.
Yeah, loudmouths.
Number four.
It's unofficially summer, what with Memorial Day having come and gone, and with that, of course, summer treats. I'd say ice cream is one, but in this town, we eat ice cream every day of the year.
When it's
30 below, there will be a line.
Well, that's true.
At Whitey's.
Yeah, that's right.
We went the other day because they reopened not that long ago, and the boy and I were driving around to go get ice cream.
Uh-huh.
My wife had given us her order for her cherry Oreo milkshake that she wanted. And we get to the neighborhood Whitey's, and the line is, I mean, it's into another parking lot.
I don't doubt it.
And there's two lines, too. So I think, gosh, do we want to wait that long for ice cream? And
well, that's not really your decision at that point, is it?
Well, it was my decision at that point. Because I said, you know, maybe I just run into a convenience store and get a couple of to-goes or something.
That's going to be all right for the marching orders that you receive?
My wife is not an unreasonable person. If I had come home with ice cream, she would have been happy.
Oh, okay.
But we had promised the raspberry Oreo shaker. Yeah, raspberry, not cherry.
Mm-hmm.
We had to say it like 5 times to each other so we wouldn't forget. And at the end of the day, the decision was made. I said, let's just go ahead and do it. Because honestly, what the hell else do we got going on?
So you're just going to wait.
We'll sit and wait in the line. Here's what I want to tell you. They had all hands on deck.
I bet.
Because this was over the weekend. All hands were on deck. We were in and out of there in like 10 minutes.
Nice.
The cars just kept moving.
All right.
You get in that big line and you think, well, we're going to be here for a half an hour before we get to the window. They had the kids with masks on coming out and asking for orders. And then like a dope, I'm like, all right, I'll take my moose tracks and I'll take that in a waffle cone. Mm-hmm. And the kid's like, sir, we can't do cones.
Yeah.
We can't be touching your food.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, so they give it to you in a little cup. It was great.
In a cup. I'll take it in a tiny cup.
The kids there were, I mean, working hard to make sure everybody got their ice cream. We got in, we got out. It was great. And the wife got her Oreo shake. They put an entire Oreo up on top of the shake to really let you know that you're getting the good stuff.
So
they're not using Hydrox. They're using the real Megilla.
Speaking of seasonal treats.
Yes.
All right. These are the seasonal flavors they have at Whitey's.
Okay.
And we'll see which ones you would be interested in pulling the trigger.
And my palate is a little bit pickier than most.
All right. They've got banana graham.
Yeah, that's a pass for me.
You don't want banana and then like banana, graham crackers?
I like graham crackers, but banana as an ice cream flavor is just, there's too much going on there. That's a hard pass.
Oh, I think bananas and ice cream work perfectly together. You've never had a banana split?
That's an actual banana with vanilla ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
If the vanilla ice cream tasted like the banana, hard pass for me. That's too much. There's too much going on.
All right. How about key lime pie?
No. As an ice cream?
Yes.
No, I don't like things that taste like other
well,
things.
Yeah, but this is ice cream.
Yeah.
Ice cream, everything's going to taste like something else.
No, that's a hard pass for me.
Don't give me that. No. Don't give me that. With ice cream, you're going to have flavors but that taste like other things.
Right, but cherry is a thing and it's a flavor.
Yes.
So a key lime pie is a specific dessert. That's a pie.
So you can't have key lime pie ice cream. You're going to say no.
That's not for me.
All right. What about lemon custard?
Oh, gross. No. That's a no. No.
It's refreshing. It's flavorful.
No, I don't want citrus in my ice cream. And I don't care for the word custard. Sounds too much like mustard.
What about a mustard custard?
No, that's a hard pass as well.
In the ballroom.
You're 0 for 3 right now.
With the candlestick.
I get my
and a rope.
I get moose tracks.
How about this? Mango raspberry.
No. That's fruit with dairy. I don't care for it. There's too much.
What do you think cherry is?
I wouldn't eat cherry either.
What do you get?
Moose tracks.
So you have to have chocolate.
It's vanilla with like little moose tracks. Isn't that like a
child's
cups.
Ice cream?
No, grown men eat moose tracks.
Okay.
Mango, what was it? Papaya mango?
Mango raspberry.
Yeah, that's a hard pass.
All right, so far none of the seasonal flavors at Whitey's, anything you're interested in.
No.
I think maybe have one left.
This is what I like at Whitey's. Vanilla augmented with a little bit of something else, chocolate.
How about super blueberry cheesecake?
That of all that you've given me, that would be probably the one. All
right, we got a winner.
Yeah.
Ding, 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 ding,
but what
ding.
Makes it super blueberry? Are there pieces of actual
blueberry
cheesecake in it?
Flavored ice cream with yeah. blueberry swirls?
Of all that you've given me, that would be the if that's
you don't
if,
like the word swirl.
No, I can deal with a swirl. If they only offered those flavors, that's the one I would go with.
Okay,
but by and large, I like either chocolate chip cookie dough or moose trucks. I want vanilla ice cream with a little bit of a treat sprinkled throughout it. That's how
see, I would have been happy with any of those.
Well, but you would eat ice cream if it was coming out of the tailpipe of a van.
What? How is that possible?
I don't know. You're the one with your mouth there's on no a way. Tailpipe.
Ice cream, you can't keep it cold.
I'm just saying.
That's not going to happen.
Your tastes are not discriminating enough, whereas mine are far too discriminating. That's the problem. You eat garbage.
I wouldn't call it garbage.
And I don't eat enough variety of different
yeah,
things.
Yeah, one of the great pleasures of existence is trying new foods, different foods, all foods.
No, for me, the great pleasure of existence is I know what I like, and that's what I'll have. Mm. The idea of going outside my comfort zone, it's overwhelming for me.
What would happen?
It's overwhelming.
Would you get hives? What physically would happen if you were put in that situation where it's like, oh my gosh.
So what are
I'm gonna have to try all this. I'm gonna have to try all this stuff. You're at some sort of dinner party, right, or you're at right. some sort of situation where
that's something that would give me a lot of anxiety.
Exactly.
If it was a situation where this is why I never went into the Foreign Service.
Because is the reason.
Because of
the rations.
If I was an ambassador, for like the State Department, and we had to go to
a state dinner,
and they're like, oh, now here's the meal we're gonna have.
And they're serving, yeah.
No, I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it.
You would just bring a can of beans. You probably don't like a can of beans, do you? The look on your face was a can of beans.
It's not my favorite. No, I don't like canned beans. It's not my favorite. If we're
green beans, can you eat green beans?
Oh, sure, I'll eat green beans like a champ.
Okay.
Are you kidding me? No one's in front of me in the line for green bean lovers.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. They've come up with a complex scientific way to best enjoy your ice cream. There's a formula here, far too long and complex for me to get into the formula, but I'll break it down as best I can. Things that you're supposed to do with your ice cream in order to have the most incredible ice cream experience of your life.
Okay.
They say, first off, if you're getting ice cream out of the fridge,
yes,
I think we all know this, but you're supposed to let it sit for 15 minutes.
Well, for a little bit, yes. I don't usually allow it that long, but I get it.
The ideal temperature is 14 below Celsius. So they figure that's exactly 15 minutes from freezer
I want it pretty cold.
Yeah, well, that's...
I don't want it too melted.
That's the dilemma, though, when you're going in there and it's like...
Well, the thing is, if you have a nice scoop... And then you basically kind of wet the scoop with like hot water.
Yeah.
You can get through it. Most ice creams.
But then you're watering down the ice cream, aren't
Not
you?
Not really. If it's just a sheen, a Charlie Sheen sheen of hot water.
The ice cream will be soft to the touch, and that releases the aroma molecules.
That could be.
Using a teaspoon, they say, scoop out a small amount of the ice cream, about half of the spoon, and then they say... Place the teaspoon upside down into your mouth so the ice cream touches your tongue, taste buds first. Think about it. When you're eating ice cream, half of what you're tasting is the metal on the spoon.
You're gobbling it down trying to give yourselves a headache or a brain freeze.
You place a teaspoon of ice cream upside down on your tongue first. You then move the ice cream around your mouth, taking note of the cold sensation and creamy texture.
How long do you think it would be before you... physically attacked somebody who was a connoisseur of everything? You know, that everything they did
yeah.
was like, oh, I must eat my ice cream this way. Or I must, I must drink my wine this way.
They say.
Or I must.
Right. You got to aerate.
You're a barbarian.
Inhale through your mouth so that it reaches all your receptors. And then they say you need to keep the ice cream in your mouth for a full 12 seconds to experience maximum flavor.
That's what I'm talking about. Someone who does that with every bite.
Repeat this with every bite to build up the full ice cream taste profile and sensation. They say flavor is extremely important and getting the most out of every mouthful should be your number one priority when it comes to ice cream. More often than not, people are unaware of how to maximize flavor sensation when it comes to eating all types of food. When you're tasting ice cream, you gotta turn that spoon upside down. And it gives you a stronger flavor impact almost instantly. That might be why I like it in a cone better than in a dish, because with a cone, the ice cream's going right in your mouth. You don't have anything in between you and the ice cream, right?
Yes.
And when you're done, you get a nice little sugary treat.
You do.
So there's that. I ice cream unless I take a full 12 seconds per bite. I make sure the ice cream is at 14 below Celsius before I'll even think of consuming it.
Do you eat a baked potato?
Oh, I love baked potatoes.
Do you eat the skin?
Absolutely.
Okay, good for you.
Yeah. Are there people that don't like the skin of a baked potato?
Sure.
That's where all the vitamins are.
Right? I don't know how many vitamins are left after you bake it, but...
In a baked potato?
Yeah.
That brings the vitamins out.
Oh, is that what happens?
Yes.
Oh.
You're not eating the skin.
Did you ever eat raw potatoes?
Sure.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. A little seasoned salt?
Well, you mean doing...
Like slice them up.
I've tried a raw potato. It's not something that I've done on regularly, no. So just chop it up and then...
Like thin slices.
Like a little Lowry's?
Yeah.
Well, you might as well just cook it up then. What, am I on a boat in the middle of the ocean with a bag of potatoes? Why am I eating them raw?
I don't know. And why do you have seasoned salt on your raft? Well, I don't go anywhere without it.
There's nothing but salt all around. You just kind of dip the...
You finish the crust on pizza, right?
Of course I do.
Okay, good.
I'm not disturbed. I just am a little picky. You make me out like I'm a mental patient with food. I know what I like. I'm a crazy person.
Well, I didn't... maybe not mental patient.
Maybe.
But you would have anxiety if you were at a...
If it was at a steak dinner and they're like, and now we're going to eat the monkey brains. I'd be like, I can't eat monkey brains. And then someone from the ambassador's office is like, it's a war.
I'm not talking about monkey brains.
Okay, give me something.
But just like, just normal food.
I was in a situation.
I mean, how physically would manifest? What would happen? Like you just start giggling or something?
I'd probably start gagging. I was in a situation years ago.
As soon as they bring the dishes out, you just start gagging.
Years ago, I was in a situation for work where we found ourselves, it was a dinner at Le Figaro, real fancy place in Rock Island.
Okay.
Fanciest place in town.
And they bring out the snails?
And they bring out the snails. And I don't think you could have fun with that.
You didn't break out into hives.
No, it was like, you guys can do that. Yeah. It's just not for me.
But I'm leaving the table as well.
Do you want to tell the story? Or can I?
Did
tell
you leave
story?
The table?
Not only did I not leave the table, I under duress and under a great amount of peer pressure, I ended up the escargot.
Oh boy!
And fell in love with it.
Really?
Oh, it was so good.
Huh?
Yeah.
Good for you. Look at that.
I'm capable of doing stuff like that.
I'm sure you could do it all the time. You'd stop surprising yourself.
I could, but I don't feel the need to. I'm still impressed that I'm on salad dressing.
I know.
Do you know how much that took me 30 years to get? I guess I agree with you to agree that trying new food is...
one of the pleasures of existence.
Yeah, but you do it...
No, I don't.
You do it once or twice a week.
No, but I'm... No, I don't. I'm not that adventurous, but I... If presented, I certainly would try.
Right. And I would... It would depend on what it is and how it's cooked. Just
because you made this doesn't mean I'm going to eat it.
Right.
We'll see. Dead. And I pull no punches.
I give what I think is helpful feedback.
I take no prisoners. I'm gonna be a straight shooter with you. I hope you can take the. I think it's gonna be creative criticism.
It's not abuse. This is a. I'm trying to help. I'm trying to be helpful.
You want the truth or not?
Five. Number five.
Every once in a while, you run across a news story and you think, "Well, this can't be real."
And because, maybe it's not.
No, it is. It is. I've looked at a couple different sources on this.
So story. We're not getting punked.
No, that we're not about to get yumboed. This is a real story out of Colorado, and the subject of this story is so vile and so villainous that it's almost cartoonish. Mm. It's almost like...
It's not going to make me cry, is it?
It might. Mm. No animals get hurt. Otherwise, I wouldn't bring it up.
All right.
No animals get hurt, but a young lady loses her life.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, this is just a heartbreaking story. And you've got the heartbreaking story, but then you add on to it this monster and the way they're behaving. This happened in Colorado Springs. Young woman dies in a car crash in February. Her name was Alexis Wyatt. Dies in February in a car crash. She was going to be getting married. In fact, the plan was to get married like last week. So getting married in May of 2020.
All right, so not necessarily any foul play there.
No.
Just a car accident.
No, car accident happens, and this young woman dies before she's to get married, right? So that's tragic. You look at the photos, just a lovely couple of youngsters looking to start their lives together. Mm-hmm. These things happen,
yeah.
You know? The woman dies, young lady dies in a car accident on Highway 24 in February there in Colorado. Her fiancé is named Justin Montanay. He is, along with his fiancé's family, they're trying to get her affairs settled.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, they were scheduled to get married in May. That didn't happen because she died. So as they're going around trying to get things settled, they reach out to the person they had hired to be the videographer for the wedding. By the way, what do you think it costs to have someone come and videotape your wedding?
And
don't give me an honest to goodness guess of like what you think is someone
might charge you?
Yeah, to come and videotape your wedding. I guess it's not videotape anymore, but you know what I'm saying. To be a videographer, what would you? What does that cost, would you guess? Give me an actual, like, realistic number.
Do they want, like, $5,000?
$1,800.
$1,800?
That seems very high to me.
So does $5,000. No,
it's $1,800 is what they had, what he paid.
I understand. I went over that.
You did, yes.
I don't know.
Okay, well, sometimes you're very good at guessing these things. This was not one of those occasions. $8 seems like an excessive amount of money for being videotaped at your wedding.
I don't know that I would want that.
I don't know
what... I think I would lobby against that.
Against that expense?
Just, I don't know that I want that record. It's okay to have some still photos, but actual moving pictures of the wedding, I don't know if I want that.
Well, I'll be married to my wife 19 years in July. And in the almost 19 years we've been married, you know how many times we've put that videotape in and watched it?
None.
Zero times is right. See? That you're good at guessing. You know me and Jenny better than you do videographer
prices.
Well,
I just figured that it's just a ridiculous number.
Not once. Now, we didn't pay anywhere near $1,800. Again, this is two decades ago, but...
You probably had a friend do it.
No, it was like a friend of her family's. Anyway, the point is there's a tape somewhere that has never been watched.
Yeah, I just don't know that I want that. I don't know if I want that record.
I don't even have a VCR.
Well, I'm sure you get it transferred onto something.
I'm going to spend more money on something I'm not going to watch so I can get a DVD that sits around and never gets watched.
That would be one of those things if you were like, okay, let's do this, okay. Yeah. And we have veto power on certain things.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be like, no, let's not do that.
That's not something you need to spend any money on.
I just don't know if I need a record of that sort of behavior.
I would be curious. The text line is, please switch to us right now.
I bet someone's paid $5,000 for It would depend. I mean, you would maybe have like multiple people doing it. You'd have drones involved.
You got Dick Clark hosting your wedding for $5,000.
Hey, we're blocking this scene right here.
Yeah, that's
someone's doing it.
I'm sure, but that seems like a kind of wedding where you've got like the bride comes in on an elephant or something. That's
yeah.
$1,800 is a lot of money. They paid $1,800, Justin did, paid $1,800 to a company called Copper Stallion Media. And
they're not giving it back.
Not one penny of it back. $1,800.
You pay.
The company is refusing to give him a refund after his fiancée died. So the fiancée dies in February. They're saying, listen, we're not going to, my fiancée died in a car wreck. We paid you the $1,800. Can we get that back? Now, any human being would say, oh my God, that's terrible, right? This isn't, we decided we don't want to get married.
You got to pay up front, huh? Not a deposit, the whole thing.
$1,800 is what Justin paid to this Copper Stallion Media, and he says that they refused to give him a refund. They said that they wouldn't do it because, that's not their policy. He says, they didn't render any services. I paid $1,800.
Right.
They didn't come and film anything.
So is he going to have them film something?
Well, this is what they come up with to him. They say, listen, here's what we'll do. We'll extend this service to your next wedding. His fiance dies in a car wreck in February, and they're saying, listen, we're keeping the money, but just so we're
because we already spent it.
You're going to meet someone eventually. You're going to want that wedding taped.
And if we're still in business.
He says that's a very insensitive thing to tell me, and I'm going to agree with him.
Yeah.
We understand your fiancé died in a car wreck. We're not giving you the money back, but here's what we'll do. We'll apply this money towards your future wedding to, you know, someone you meet eventually. So he starts telling people about what they're doing to him. And they start getting negative reviews on Yelp and Facebook, people saying, I can't believe you're doing this. Uh-huh. So their response is, oh, we've made a mistake. We feel we'll refund the money. I'm kidding. That's not at all what they did. Instead, they take the $1,800 and they buy websites attacking the groom. They buy a website. This guy's name is Justin Montanay. They buy a website, Justin Montanay, and then they just attack this guy, saying this guy's trying to shake us down.
Mm-hmm.
The site that is written, again, on justinmontanay.com, the guy whose fiance died, who just was wanting his money back for a wedding that never happened and never got videotaped.
Yes.
This is what they write on the website. He admits the contract was non-refundable, but says we should give the money back due to the circumstance. Life's a bitch, Justin. Now, well, that's cartoon evil, right?
Never admit you're wrong.
The owner then mocked at the website. We've registered this website for 2 years, and we used the money from your non-refundable deposit to make it happen. And then, on the day that was supposed to be their wedding, over the weekend, May 23rd, the company posts a picture of this couple on the Justin Montanay website. Posts a picture of him and his fiance, and it says this. Today would have been the day where we would have filmed Justin and Alexis's wedding. After what Justin pulled with the media stunt to try and shake us down for a refund, we hope you sob and cry all day for what it would have been your wedding day. Sorry, not sorry, it says. Can you believe that? How does that happen? What kind of monster? There's something mentally wrong with you, right? When you're kind of
well,
evil.
You would think that would turn off most prospective clients, but and then you have to imagine which clients it attracts. I like the way they do business.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. The story here goes on to talk about how people that worked for this company were having trouble getting paid. A former videographer with Copper Stallion Media, Alex Murphy, worked for them as a videographer in 2019, left the company because they refused to pay him.
Mm.
He found the job on Craigslist and said he never spoke to him over the phone. He said it took nearly 3 months to get his final pay from Copper Stallion Media. Instead, it came from a company called Organized Weddings LLC with a Las Vegas address, which is weird because this story takes place in Colorado. He says whoever's in charge of the company is confident enough that they can reset without any damages. The address of Organized Weddings LLC is linked to a guy named Jesse J. Clark. This guy was sued by the Massachusetts Attorney General in 2013 for taking the money of 90 different couples and then videotaped their weddings.
Yeah, how'd he get away with that?
That's just monstrous. But out of all the stuff this guy has pulled, all of this is just a level of evil where you think there's something. You're mentally ill when you're that evil,
You wouldn't think the word of mouth is good.
No, but then he can just call himself something else. So
don't forget to mention this to our friends.
How do you have people going and videotaping weddings and you're never talking to them on the phone? Just, I need you to go and film this. Here's the address. Just emails. You're
just contracting out people.
Are these people filming on their phones? How does that even work? Well, they're not answering any phone calls because, as you can imagine, the media there in Colorado is all over this trying to figure out, you know, how to get this guy his money back. And they've set up a GoFundMe page for this kid to create memorials. The family created a GoFundMe page to create memorials for their daughter that they lost. It just seems like it's such an obvious right thing to do. And instead, this escalates to so many different levels of just evil that
pretty sick.
If you saw this in a movie, you wouldn't believe it, right?
Well, what kind of movie you're going to?
I don't know.
I don't know that who's buying that script. I think we're gonna have to pass on this one. We were looking kind of for a romantic comedy, not.
Okay, here's the romantic comedy: boy meets girl, girl dies in a car accident, guy spends the rest of the movie trying to get his money back from the videographer. Who then uses it as an occasion to torture him over the loss of his beloved fiance.
I might need my money back from this film.
Yeah, that's not the feel-good hit of the summer.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
I guess that's it for this installment of the Top 5 Things.
And you're welcome.
Yeah, right. It was brought to you by Capriotti's. Oh! Ozzy!
Capriotti Sandwich Shop celebrating their 10th year in the Quad Cities, and they would like to thank all of their fans, their customers who have made that possible. Capriotti's is currently open daily, and they are operating safely from 11 till 7.
That is it for this installment of the Top 5 Things. Until we get a chance to do it for you again, thanks for downloading and subscribing and leaving reviews. Thanks for all that you've done for us. We appreciate the opportunity to get to hang out with you and hopefully entertain you. Until we get a chance to do it again, hang loose, kooks.
And you stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities reppin' spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked.
Rock Island,
come on, and it just don't stop. East Moline, yeah, they keeping it hot.
It was great fun. I don't even remember why we came, but I had a ball.
I look forward to reminiscing about this tomorrow.